The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here's your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you live from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Jennifer Sands about the topic Living for Jesus, post 9/11 Twin Tower tragedy. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. Let's take a look at some health tips, first of all, from the news this week, and we're going to talk about calcium and bone health. Calcium's all over the literature because taking it with or without vitamin D may put women at slightly greater risk for heart attack. Now, not to scare you, but this comes from a 2011 meta-analysis that may partly be due to the fact that calcium supplements don't necessarily balance out with enough magnesium, or it might be that we're taking too much out of the bottle. So I've got some ideas to help us with that. So first of all, remember that unlike magnesium, it's really, quite honestly, easy to get calcium from foods, including dairy products, cheese, yogurt, tofu, and even green leafy vegetables. But it's a little harder to get magnesium and a little harder still to get vitamin D. So here we go. Get your pens and pencils ready. Please do talk with your doctor about what doses are right for you. But typically, if you stick with between 500 and 800 milligrams of calcium a day out of the bottle and get the rest of your 1,000 milligrams or 1,200 milligrams from your foods, you're probably going to be safe for now, at least until we get more information in, more studies come in. Your magnesium should be anywhere between 200 and 400 milligrams a day, and your vitamin D anywhere from 600 international units to 800 international units daily, based on a blood level that can be easily drawn from your doctor. Milk is a great source of calcium. Interestingly, non-fat has the highest. It has over 300 milligrams per 8-ounce serving, more than 2% more than whole milk. If you're going to take calcium out of the bottle and you use about 500 milligrams as your cutoff point, you're going to need to drink at least two more 8-ounce glasses of milk a day to get your full day's serving. So stay tuned for more milk, more dairy, and more calcium information as time goes on. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Jennifer Sands is a multi-talented individual. She's an author, a speaker, a pharmacist like me. She's a widow of Jim Sands, who died in the 9/11 Twin Tower tragedy in New York. My favorite description of Jennifer is that she is a child of God. Welcome to Jennifer, to Your Holistic Health.
Thank you so much, Kathy. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Well, you lost your hubby in 2001. It's so hard for me to believe it's been that long. Mm-hmm. The World Trade Center tragedy, we all shared with you in that event. And you must have experienced every single emotion trying to just sort through the happenings for a period of time and then to cope when you realized what had happened to you personally. I'm going to ask you, where do you think God was on 9/11, Jennifer?
I think a lot of people ask that question. I say he was exactly where he always is. He was on the throne of heaven in total control of everything that happens in this universe. I believe he was giving strength and wisdom to the passengers on the planes as they tried to overtake the hijackers, and I believe he was the one sending rescue workers to save the lives of thousands of people by getting them out of the burning buildings. He was comforting the people who were left in the buildings. He was trying to comfort their families at home. You know, from our seat down here, it appears as if God took the day off on 9/11, but from his seat on the throne, he sees the big picture. Could he have stopped it from happening? Absolutely. He's sovereign. But God always has our best interest in mind, even when it doesn't seem that way, even when it seems as if he turned his back and shut his eyes and plugged his ears while commercial jets were being used as bombs to kill thousands of innocent people, or when it seems as if God is missing in action while, I don't know, tornadoes and earthquakes and hurricanes level entire cities, or sometimes it's just like when you pray so hard for something and the answer you want just doesn't happen. And God is silent, and it's disturbing, and it's frustrating, but we can trust that he always has his glory and our best interest in mind, Kathy. And so where was God on 9/11? I can tell you now, without a doubt, that God was with me, even though I didn't see it back then. I didn't realize it till later, after I had calmed down, when I stopped screaming at him, when I was able to look and see him there, because our grief blinds us to the reality of God's presence. When we're in pain, the pain is all we can think about. It's all we can feel. But I know that God was there with me that day, just as he's with me right now.
I agree, and I want to affirm that by sharing scripture for you, Jennifer, and for our listeners. And it's from Matthew 5, verse 4, and it's Jesus from the mount, and he said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And he is a God of promise. And I am so thrilled to know that you felt, and you know now, that what you were feeling at the time did, in fact, include God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
What was your relationship with him prior to 9/11 and right after 9/11?
Well, before 9/11, my spiritual life was very, very limited. There was virtually no relationship at all with God. I mean, I went to church sometimes, but only when it was convenient for me. I never owned a Bible, never read a Bible. Never even opened a Bible. I had no interest in it at all. I believed in God. In fact, I prayed to him every morning when Jim left for work. I prayed that God would keep him safe on the road because Jim had a very long commute to New York. So I was worried about him. But my knowledge of God was very superficial, very short-sighted, really. To me, he was just like a vague, impersonal force. And I really only prayed to him when I wanted something or needed something. Otherwise, I just kind of kept him on the sidelines. And as for Jesus, I had heard many times that he was sent to live here and that he died for the sins of man and that he rose again, but I never understood that, and I didn't think it applied to me anyway because I never really considered myself to be a sinner. I mean, I knew I wasn't perfect, but I never killed anybody and never committed adultery. You know how that is. I've always honored my mother and father, and yeah, I'd lie sometimes. I've done other things I'm not proud of, but I always thought, well, God would never let me perish for those things. So basically, I just assumed that since I believe there is a God, and since I'm a relatively good person, that God would never let anything bad happen to me in this life or the next. But then 9/11 happened. And as I said before, I prayed to God every morning to keep Jim safe, and I did indeed pray that morning of 9/11. So when Jim never came home, I was absolutely devastated, just devastated, shocked, confused, in complete turmoil. And for, you know, months after, I was just consumed with bitterness and emptiness and despair. But more than anything, above all else, I was angry. I was so angry. But unlike so many people who were affected by 9/11, my anger was not directed at the terrorists, which might seem hard for some people to believe, but and don't misunderstand me. I'm certainly not minimizing what they did because we're not even going to go there. But I did not pray to Osama bin Laden every morning to please not attack our country. No, I prayed to God every morning to please keep Jim safe, which is why my anger was completely directed at God, because I knew he could have stopped it from happening, and he didn't. And, you know, many people, I think, just don't analyze their spiritual beliefs and their relationship with God till it appears that God has failed them, right? I mean, tragedies bring us to a fork in the road of faith. They're either going to make us turn away from God or they draw us closer to him, and I stood in that fork in the road, And as I did, God just brought so many different people into my life to help steer me in the right direction. And some of them had been there all along, like my family and my friends, and others kind of came and went in a fleeting moment and I never saw them again. And others came into my life and they've remained there, have become very dear friends. But God used all of them collectively to help me turn my anger and the bitterness into hope and trust. And it didn't happen overnight, but it happened. Some of them helped me to realize that being angry with God was proof that I still believe there is a God, which was a huge revelation to me. And then some of them took the time to explain to me who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And they helped me to see my need for him, helped me to understand that I am indeed a sinner in need of forgiveness, and Jesus is the only one who can meet that need. So they gave me emotional and spiritual healing. And so it happened like it says in the Bible. It's a verse from 1 Corinthians. Some people planted seeds of faith, others watered them, but God was causing the growth. God was causing the increase.
Your life is very different today, Jennifer.
Very.
When did you realize that God was calling you to a ministry that was just incredibly different from your profession as a pharmacist?
It is completely different. I guess the healing process kind of came in different stages, Kath, but I'd say it took about a year for me to find peace and healing, and that really only happened when I made the decision to trust Jesus with my life and my future. So I gave my life to him. He gave me the promise of spending eternity with him, and then very, very soon after that, he gave me a writing and speaking ministry. It was not my idea. It was all his idea. Jim and I were scuba divers. Jim was an underwater photographer, and after 9/11, I sent in some of Jim's underwater photographs to his favorite scuba diving magazine, and they published a story on him and his photos I think it was March 2002, in an issue of their magazine. And a few months after that is when I gave my life to Christ, and I still remember when I prayed to him, I said, "Okay, Lord, you say you have plans to give me hope in the future. Well, go ahead. I'm all yours." And not even 2 months later, I was contacted by the editor of Scuba Diving Magazine. He had just left his position there and started a new venture in book publishing. And he asked me to write a book about my first year after 9/11 and my life without Jim. And he offered me a publishing contract. And even though I knew nothing about publishing back then, I knew that things like that don't just happen. I knew this was a huge door that the Lord had just opened for me. And so I started writing, and writing became one of the greatest forms of therapy for me, because it really forced me to confront the details of that day and the issues of my faith. And it was cathartic and it was painful, but it helped to bring forth emotional and spiritual healing, because sometimes in order to get through something, you have to face it head on, full force. And that's what writing did for me. So my first book, A Tempered Faith, was released on the 2-year anniversary of 9/11. And then after that came A Teachable Faith in 2006 and A Treasured Faith in 2009. And then when my first book was released, speaking became kind of an offshoot of that, because some churches asked me to speak to their congregation and share my story, which I was not comfortable with, because I had never spoken in front of an audience about anything in my entire life, and I had never written anything in my life or been published, so this was all new to me. But I trusted the Lord to give me strength and wisdom. And he did, of course, and the speaking ministry has really been nonstop ever since. So my time, as you said, in pharmacy is very limited. I still work a few hours a week because I want to keep my foot in the door, and I enjoy that, too. And it's a ministry in itself, as you know. Mm-hmm. But now I speak at different churches and women's conferences, women's retreats, and God has literally taken this ministry all over the globe. But I say all that to say this. On September 11th, 2001, if anybody ever told me that I would have a Christian writing and speaking ministry, I would have suggested that they get a CAT scan. I never would have believed it, and I know, of course, now that I couldn't have done any of this without the Lord, so he gets all the praise and glory. But what really amazes me as I look back is that God knew exactly what he was going to do with those underwater photographs before Jim even took them. Because the photos led to the magazine, which led to a book, which led to speaking, which led to more books, which led to more speaking, which led to a full-time ministry. So to God be the glory.
Absolutely.
Great things
Amen.
He has done.
Amen. We know that peace is the emotion of faith. And in John 14:27, we're told, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Mm-hmm. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Have you found closure or that peace since Osama bin Laden was killed?
Well, I guess, as the widow of one of his countless victims, I was greatly relieved to know that he finally met his fate. But as a Bible-believing evangelical Christian, I honestly cannot rejoice in the death of a man who is now spending his eternity in hell. Because I think there's a big difference between being relieved about the death of your enemy and rejoicing in the death of your enemy. And, you know, when it happened, crowds of Americans were gathered in New York and Washington and celebrating the victory. And I understand why they were doing it. And I certainly don't hold that against them. But I can assure you that Jesus was not cheering, because he died for bin Laden's sins just as he died for yours and mine. And bin Laden's harsh rejection of Christ is not something that heaven celebrates, and neither do I. So, in fact, in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 24, it's Proverbs 24, 17 and 18, it actually says, "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, or the Lord will see it and be displeased." So I don't rejoice, but I do breathe a big sigh of relief. And as far as peace and closure, as you said, I can't speak for the other 9/11 families. I only know what's in my own heart. I don't have closure, but I do have peace. The death of bin Laden may have closed a chapter of 9/11's history, but the rest of the book is still being written. And, it, you know, what happened doesn't bring Jim back. It doesn't change how I feel about what happened on 9/11. And for some families, I guess bin Laden's death has helped them to move forward in their own journey of grief. But for me, I've already moved forward, and it's not by the death of Jim's murderer. It's by the power of God's love.
Excellent. I'm going to ask you about the Colorado tragedy after the break. And right now, let's go ahead and take that break. This is Your Holistic Health. We're talking with Jennifer Sands tonight about living for Jesus, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a live broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight we're talking with Jennifer Sands, the widow of Jim Sands, who was killed in the 9/11 Twin Tower tragedy in New York in 2001. Our topic is living for Jesus. Well, Jennifer, unfortunately, there's a lot of evil in the world, and we have to deal with this. Even as Christians, we have to deal with tragedy. The Lord never said there would not be pain. And recently in Colorado, once again, sadly, we have seen an example of horrible evil. I wonder, would you have a special message that you would like to share with the families of those who lost loved ones in that tragedy?
Well, you know, Kathy, I know firsthand what it's like to lose someone you love dearly by the violent act of a deranged madman, or in my case, many of them. So I know the spectrum of emotions that the Colorado families are feeling, and maybe like me, some of them are angry at God. But first, I think it's important for them and for everyone, regardless of what you're going through, to remember that God is not responsible for the evil acts of mankind. I mean, we live in a fallen, broken world full of depravity. That's not God's fault. That's our own fault. It's the fault of mankind. From the choices that were made from original sin, there are consequences to our actions. We're still suffering the results of those actions all these years later. And as drastic as it might seem, God sometimes allows a person or a whole town or an entire nation to suffer with the intention of awakening their faith. And no doubt the families in Colorado, and I'm sure some of your listeners who are going through a crisis, are asking why did this happen? Not just of what happened in Colorado, but again, things happen in our lives that your listeners may be going through, health problems, financial problems, marriage problems, you name it. And I asked why after 9/11, and I've learned many things since then, and one of them is this. A broken heart is not healed by explanations. It's healed by the love and the grace of God. A broken heart is not healed by explanations. It's healed by the love and the grace of God. And we'll never have all the answers, not this side of eternity. But here's the thing. On the basis of what we do know about God, we can trust him with the things that we don't know. I don't know all the answers to why. I don't know why God allowed 9/11. I don't know why God allowed what happened in Colorado. But I do know the one who does have those answers, and that's where trust comes in. And I think the trust is, you know, I know that trust is based on relationship. You know, we only get to know a person and be able to trust them. The only way you can really trust a person is by spending time with them. That's when you find out just how reliable and dependable a person really is or not. And it's the same way with God. The only way you can really build trust in God is by spending time with him on a regular basis and just getting to know him. And when you get to know him personally through his word, through prayer, through the fellowship of other Christians, that's when you find out how completely, entirely reliable and dependable and trustworthy God really is. He always does what he says he's going to do. He never makes mistakes. I look back, I never could have imagined that losing Jim would really not be the end of me. On the contrary, it would be the beginning of a whole new life. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, like it says in the Bible. With God, all things are possible, because only God can take a tragedy like 9/11, like what happened in Colorado, and turn it into a victory. Because he did it with his son on the cross. Talk about a tragedy. He did it in my life. He can do it in the lives of the Colorado families. He can do it in the lives of your listeners. If they allow him to work in their heart, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or think or imagine.
You have another ministry that's filled with grace, and it has to do with your parents, who are both presently dealing with some health issues and for whom you have chosen to be a primary caregiver. And I'm guessing that there are a lot of listeners that are going through that right now. Baby boomers in the sandwich generation, children and parents, parenting children and parenting parents. Mm-hmm. Tell me, is this caregiving giving you new perspective, even different and beyond what you've experienced in the 9/11 growth spiritually, or how do you feel about caregiving, and what special, sweet message can you give us in that regard?
Yes, it is much different than my experience and the challenges from 9/11. And it's really very unfamiliar territory to me, and it's also very new territory to me. So I don't know how much wisdom I can offer, but I can share that it really has been a test. My parents are in their 80s. They've always been so healthy and so active, but within the past year, my mom has developed significant dementia. My dad has some serious heart problems, and fortunately, they only live a few blocks away from me, so I'm able to be there quite often, and my sister also helps out. But as many of you know, it's hard raising your parents. That role reversal is just such a challenge, and it's so emotionally draining for them and for us. You know, we love, we honor, we respect our parents, and we want to preserve their dignity, and we want to keep them comfortable, and we want to meet their needs. But still, it's hard when your mother asks you the exact same question 7 times in 10 minutes. You know, I mean, it's hard. It is an extreme test of patience and endurance and character. And the Lord has a great work to do in me, and he's just getting started. He's got a lot more to go. It's going to be a long road, I'm sure, and I'm willing to be molded and shaped into his character, but it's really a workout of our spiritual muscles. And just like with our physical muscles, it's the workout that makes us stronger. And of course, God is gracious, and he's faithful, and his mercies are new every morning.
We're going to keep you in our prayers, Jennifer, as you continue to bless your parents, and I'm sure receive many, many blessings in return that will create memories, sweet, precious memories for the rest of your life.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. Thank you.
You know, I understand that you're leading a tour of Israel in April of next year.
Yes.
Tell us more.
Yes, I've been to Israel 4 times. I've led tours there. I have such a passion for the country, the culture, the people, the language, and especially the history, the biblical history. And I will be leading another tour next year, 2013. The dates are April 16th to the 26th of 2013. And you know, a trip to the Holy Land really is life-changing because it makes the Bible come alive. I know everybody says that, but it's so true, because I like to say it takes it from being black and white and brings it into 3D Blu-ray Technicolor, you know. And walking where Jesus walked is just an experience that can hardly even be put into words. So yes, there is still room on the tour. If anybody's interested, they can check it out on my website, which is jennifersands.com, JenniferSands.com. They can get more information on the trip. They can see photos from the last trip of some of the places that we'll be visiting, and they can even download the full brochure and the registration form. So I invite them to check it out.
Again, blessings on that trip, and I might just surprise you and join you on one of these sometime.
Oh, I would love that.
I'm thinking about it. I shouldn't even say that because now I'm committed to resolving and making a decision.
Don't worry.
But I'm thinking about it, so thank you so much for sharing. Okay, where can our listeners go to get a copy of one or all three of your wonderful books?
Well, all three titles are available as hardcovers and as ebooks. Hardcovers through Amazon, other bookstores, and through my website, jennifersands.com. And as I said, they're also available on Kindle and Nook. They just became available on Kindle and Nook.
Awesome. Awesome. And good luck with those.
Thank you.
I forgot to ask you about two significant milestones in your life, 2002 and 2003. What were they?
Oh, my. Well, 2002, I think you might be referring to July 17th, 2002, is when I made the decision to trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior because, again, I was not a believer before 9/11. God used that tragedy to draw me to Him. So it was the greatest decision I've ever made. It's the greatest decision that anybody can ever make. And then 2003, October 5th, 2003, is the day that I was baptized at the church where my sister had been a member for almost 30 years and had been praying for me for 30 years to come to the Lord. And it's the same church that I usually avoided in my BC days, as I like to call them, my before Christ days, because back then I always thought of those kinds of churches as the Jesus freak churches, but now I can probably say I am a Jesus freak. So those are significant days for me.
And for us too. And thank you for sharing that. We rejoice with you. Even though it's many years later, the fruits of your labor are very self-evident.
Thank you. And thank you so much, Kathy. Mm-hmm.
Well, my dear, we're all out of time. And once again, I want to thank you, Jennifer Sands, for being a delightful guest on our show with such a poignant topic and a witness in living for Jesus.
Thank you, Kathy. I was very grateful to be on the show and grateful for what you do in the ministry and for the Lord as well.
Thank you. Now I'd like to wrap up our show with the quote of the week, and it's about love. And it's from Charles Dickens, who lived in the 1800s, for those of you who may have forgotten. It's a cute little one, and it says, I quote, "And can it be that a world so full and busy, the loss of one creature makes a void so wide and deep that nothing but the width and the depth of eternity can fill it up?" Perhaps he didn't know about 9/11, but I know about love, and I've seen love through your eyes, Jennifer, and we have seen his love through you. What a beautiful testimony and a fruit of the Spirit. Thanks to Jennifer for being a guest with us tonight. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. You are invited to my website online at rxintegrativesolutions.com for a library of health-related articles that I've written just for you. Please tune in again next week at this same time to hear Dr. Georgiana Dinaldio talk about her book, Changing Behavior, One Emotion at a Time, on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m. on Faith and Friends Radio for your holistic health.